I want to back up and broaden out, though, and talk about what we're seeing market-wide when we think about this recovery. Of course, as the Delta variant rages on, we've been looking at consumer confidence and that out from the Conference Board earlier this morning. That measurement fell to 113.8, so 113.8. That was revised down from 125.1 last month, weaker what we're expecting in that decline. Economists there were expecting 123. So below that, and concerns, whether you want to talk about Delta or rising gas and food prices, both weighing on consumer confidence. So what does that mean for the months to come here? I want to bring on Rob Hayworth, Senior Investment Strategist at U.S. Bank Wealth Management, joins us right now. Mr. Hayworth, appreciate you coming on here to chat with us today. I mean, when we look at it, I guess this was kind of expected. Some of the economic data we've been getting has been weakening as Delta's increased in cases. What do you make of that reading, I guess, and where it puts us in this recovery?
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I think it puts us in a very tense and difficult situation as we head back to school. In our estimation, we're seeing both consumer confidence and business activity slip. We're seeing supply constraints. We are seeing an increase in coronavirus, and I think there's some concern for consumers about the end to transfer payments and the coming end to eviction and foreclosure moratorium. So I think there's some shaky confidence here. I think if we can get through the back-to-school season, get through this current wave in coronavirus, maybe get hiring back up again, we should stabilize and we could have a pretty positive outlook to the end of the year. That said, there are clearly downside risks if we can't get coronavirus back under control and get the economy more reopened.
Yeah, ING was out with a note kind of talking about, even though this is kind of a weak consumer confidence reading, you still have the offset in quarters to come about business investment, maybe offsetting whatever weakness we could see on the consumer front, maintaining their GDP growth rate of a little under 5% when you look at Q3. I mean, does that sound right to you in terms of how businesses might be looking to spend into year end?
Yes. When we look at purchasing manager surveys, you're seeing an uptick in capital spending. You're seeing very low inventories and higher expected spending. So I think if we can get some of the supply constraints, especially semiconductors, alleviated, there's some pent-up activity coming in future quarters. It's just a question of when does that get released?
Looking at the year end, though, just talking about a price target up from 4320 on the S&P 500 to 4800. When you look at who might be the leaders as we wrap up 2021, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who just can't wait for the year to be over now. We said the same thing about 2020. Yeah, here we are. I mean, when you look at that, what sectors to you might be the ones worth taking a second look at when it comes to strength?
Yeah, I mean, this is a market that seems to be really betwixt and between when it comes to value versus or cyclical growth relative to secular growth, or, you know, you could call it value as well. We're really leaning towards that secular growth story where we think that as we get past coronavirus, as we get fully reopened, the edge is probably going to companies with those innate growth stories, as we're seeing consumers probably change behavior as we move forward. More remote work, more hybrid activities, which is going to push up demand for that secular growth story. So we'd probably tilt there and towards the U.S. as we get to year end.
Yeah, I mean, we got the report out from Google pushing their return to office back to January. So a couple months there, that's kind of been the trend, whether you look at big tech or any other company weighing kind of the return to office, I think when you back up. I mean, I wonder what that does maybe to confidence here in the market, as we were talking about some of that leading into Jackson Hole and the virtual summit last week. If this recovery does maybe get pushed back a little bit, and I'm not sure how big of an impact maybe not going back in the office would be here, maybe pushing it back a couple months, but does that kind of matter when you think about at least sentiment around investing now?
I think, for us, when we think about sentiment, and particularly going back to consumer sentiment or business sentiment, it's all about, can we get hiring done, right? Can we get more people back to work, whether it's in a hybrid scenario, which, right, we've seen surveys and estimates that it's maybe a third of jobs that can be fully remote. But getting people back to work is probably the key. So pushing the return to office out a little bit does maybe change the equation for some businesses, but probably not for the overall economy, other than, you know, it probably lightens the load on oil prices to some extent for a short amount of time. But otherwise, you know, we don't think that's as important as it is to watch the labor market and, frankly, Friday's jobs report.
Lastly, I mean, Friday's jobs report is going to be big. It's always big, but this one particularly around this one seems larger than some of the ones in the past, just because of what we heard from Jay Powell last week in this recovery. But there is one kind of point, not market related here, but certainly related back to this recovery. We got the Case-Shiller numbers out this morning that also proved strong. And you think about what's going on the real estate front there, home prices rising 18.6% annually in June. That was up from 16.8% in May, and the fastest growth that we've seen really in years and decades. So, I mean, when you look at that, maybe some of the pressure now when we talk about asset bubbles and real estate particularly here, I mean, is that maybe a signal, you know, people might liken it back to what we saw in the subprime mortgage crisis. But what is it looking like to you in terms of the bubble talk? We had a little bit of it last year or the beginning of the year, not so much as of recent. But what's your take there?
Yeah, for us, when we think about housing, we think it's actually still a very constructive environment. And part of what's dealing with that is, one, incomes are up, and two, interest rates remain low. So affordability is still pretty solid for the housing market. And then three, you just don't have kind of the same risks you had in the housing market a while ago. So we think there's room to grow here there's room for consumers to pick up housing, and demand doesn't seem like it's faltering much at all. It's a little more a lack of supply than it is a lack of demand in the housing space.
It was the largest annual gain in the history of the index, as I said, going back decades, 1987, when the reporting there was first recorded. So very interesting to see. We'll watch it play out, and we'll see, as you said, if anything changes on that front as interest rates tick higher. But Rob Hayworth, Senior Investment Strategist at U.S. Bank Wealth Management, appreciate you coming on here to chat with us today.